Father, bless these words to our hearts in Jesus' name. Turn in your Bibles, please, to Genesis chapter 1. We have touched on a number of occasions on this topic, but we have never done a cohesive narrative. So tonight we're going to do a cohesive narrative, describing really what it was that happened in heaven. The evidence of it is all around us. So what happened in heaven? In verse 4, the Word of God says, "And God saw the light that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. And God called the light day, and the darkness He called light. And the evening and the morning were the first day." One of the things that people wonder about sometimes is, when did prehistoric realities take place? People call it eternity past. And although we all understand the concept, it's a misnomer. There is no such thing as an eternity past. When did God create the angels? When did the events in Ezekiel 28 and Isaiah 14 actually take place? In Revelation chapter 12, where the Word of God describes the war that took place in heaven, it appears that that's in the future. And yet we know that it happened in the past, because elsewhere in the Bible it describes it in the past. It is both in the past and in the future and in the present. Einstein once said that the concept of past, present, and future is a stubbornly persistent illusion. And it is. When you read the book of Revelation, for example, understand that you are looking into eternity in that book. You're not looking into time. People sometimes have a difficult time of interpreting Revelation and understanding Revelation because they see it all as future events. But it's not. They're eternal events. Future is not in the picture there. They are eternal events. In Revelation chapter 4 and also in Revelation chapter 1, the Word of God tells us that God, who is eternal, was and is to come. He's outside of time. He's talking about eternal events. Was and is to come, all exist at the same time. This is what Einstein had revealed to us. So when we look at Revelation, we can't think in terms of temporal passage of time. It doesn't work that way. We have to look at it from eternal perspective, because these are eternal events. In Genesis 1:4, you had the casting out of Satan. How do we know this? God divided the light from the darkness. In the original language, the word light is the word or. One of its meanings is spiritual light. Darkness in the original is kashek, and it speaks of spiritual darkness or wickedness. And so God divided spiritual light from spiritual darkness or wickedness. In 1 Thessalonians 5:5, the Word of God tells us we are children of the light, not children of the night. Not children of the dark, it also says, but children of the light, of the day. And so when it says that He called the light day and the darkness night, He is defining the kingdoms there. There is a kingdom of light. That is the kingdom of the day. I wonder if in heaven it is in fact called kingdom of the day versus the kingdom of the night. In this passage, God divided the two kingdoms. Satan fell in this passage. What happened that Satan fell? What happened that there is an angelic war? What was the purpose of it? I mean, think about it. Here you have these angels, and we do not know the quantity of time within those first few earth hours that took place Because in 2 Peter 3:8, a day with the Lord is as a thousand years, and a thousand years is as a day. It could have been centuries in their experience that took place. More than enough time for a hierarchy, more than enough time for relationships, more than enough time for order and structure within heaven itself. So what took place? The first thing we have to realize was the way that the angels relate to God, if we are to understand what took place. Picture this. You have a perfect environment. There is no sin anywhere in existence. You have angels and you have God. You have pure holiness, you have pure righteousness, you have a perfect environment. There is no negativity, there is no war, there is no anger, there is nothing of an old sin nature because the old sin nature doesn't exist. There is nothing of any evil because evil doesn't exist. It is a perfect environment. In heaven, in Revelation 4:8, in the B part of the verse, angels say before God, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, which was, and which is, and which is to come." Holy, holy, holy. This is how the angels relate to God. Holy, holy, holy. This was the angelic standard. Holiness. The angelic standard was not grace. The human standard is grace. This is how God relates to us, according to grace. He did not and does not relate to the angels according to grace. Why? Because grace is by faith. It is by faith, in Romans 4, that it may be of grace. So it is not possible for the angelic standard to be grace. Because angels do not operate in faith, nor can they operate in faith. They see God face to face. There is no faith to them. Faith is a very strange thing to the angels. That's one of the reasons why they're looking unto our lives. They learn about grace, and in learning about grace, they learn about faith. But they don't possess either one for themselves, nor can they. Their standard is holiness. Now, holiness is an easier standard in some regards for angels than grace is for mankind. Consider that 98% of mankind has rejected the grace of God. That's what the statistic is. That only 2% of mankind is saved. The angels relate to God according to His holiness. Now Jesus, in Luke 10:18, saw Satan fall out of heaven. It happened in Genesis 1:4. And the reason is because holiness was violated. Now, we think of holiness as being violated in this very religious, maybe Renaissance painting notion. Holiness was violated. Little guys with wings and halos floating around. They say, holiness was violated. Oh, one of them was bad. In heaven, holiness being violated would be like saying the earth was split in half. Because that is the entire foundation of everything that the angels had with God, was holiness. They, in their essence, were holy. To say that holiness was violated was the equivalent of saying that mankind is turning into a gerbil. And you would say, you're insane. That's not even possible. Genetics won't even allow it. But indeed, holiness was violated. And this was startling in heaven. It shattered heaven in a manner of speaking. This is what happened. Lucifer was the covering cherub. Ezekiel 28:14. Lucifer was a covering cherub. And he learned something devastating. Because he was the keeper of the word. he learned some things that rocked his little world. Ezekiel 28:17, he became puffed up because he was beautiful and because of his brightness. Now, beautiful and brightness in heaven speaks of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Remember, in Ezekiel 31:18, the tree of knowledge of good and evil is Satan's tree. That's why the prohibition in the garden against the tree of knowledge of good and evil. It was Satan's tree. Satan entered into this self-conscious mode where he said, I am beautiful and I am bright. And in that beauty and in that brightness, he had a new standard by which he was operating, and the standard was self-consciousness. Nowhere else in the Word of God is angelic self-consciousness even mentioned. The angels are before God saying, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. There is no self-consciousness there. But Lucifer entered into self-consciousness because he was beautiful and because he was bright. And many scholars tell us that he was the most beautiful of all the angels. Now here's the thing. You're a covering cherub, which means that you're something of an angelic pastor, extremely powerful, extremely influential. In the angelic hierarchy, he was second to God. He's extremely powerful, extremely influential. He was either above or a peer to, but no less than Michael and Gabriel, who are also archangels. And he learned something. He learned that God would create a lesser form called man. He didn't know what man was. Man didn't exist yet except in the mind of God. But he would create a lesser form called man. He would be lower than the angels. And he would be sinful. That alone was devastating news. That something that God could create could be sinful. Something that God could do would in some way be less than perfect. How can this perfect God do something that is less than perfect? That alone, I imagine, must have blown their minds. Because it completely redefined in their thinking who God is and what God is all about. The problem in it was that certain of the angels did not know who God is or what He was all about. And that's why they couldn't handle it. But it redefined for them who God is and what God is all about. And no longer did they see Him as perfectly holy. No longer did they see Him as the great God. And something went wrong. That was the first thing. He recognized that God would create a lesser being, an imperfect lesser being. Then, something even more radical would happen. Then God would become one of those lesser beings. How can the perfect, holy, righteous God become something other than a perfect, holy, and righteous God? How could He become lower than the angels when He was the creator of the angels, when He was holy, when He was perfect, when He was pure, and He would become one of those lesser beings in the flesh? He would become a lesser being in the flesh. He would walk with them, He would talk with them, He would eat with them, He would sleep with them, He would drink with them, He would be one of them, He would commune with them, and He would get this. This is mind-numbing. He would love them. The accusations of the Pharisees that He eats with publicans and sinners were also the accusations of Satan. Because Satan is the accuser of the brethren. Accusation is born with him. And so Lucifer is looking at the situation and it's becoming increasingly dire. That God would become a man. Something made of dust. Think of that. Something made of dust, and this is the God that we have honored. This is the God we have respected and served and followed. This is the God that we have revered. This is the God we have worshipped, and he's going to become something less than us, and not only that, he will be made of dust. But that wasn't the end of it, that was just the beginning. And then when God was one of those people, he would actually, and this was shattering in their mentality, he would actually die for them. Death of God? This can't be real. This cannot be God. This cannot be. Tell us that this is not right. Tell us that we are misunderstanding what is being revealed to us. Death of God? Can you imagine being an angel? Your entire world is completely centered on God. Your very existence is centered on him. And you learn that that God will die as a man. That is the entire corruption and collapse of everything that you held sacred. Your world is falling apart at this point. Death of God. How can God even begin to die? He is the creator. He is the giver of life. He possesses the breath of life. What does that mean for the angels, death of God, when he is the giver of breath of life? And then the final straw in Ephesians 2:15 and 16 and in 2 Corinthians 5:17, God would become one person with those dust made lower beings. That he would be just like them and he would make them just like him and they would surpass the angels and he would not only do that, he would take them as a bride. This was the ultimate scandal in heaven because it was devastating to the angelic reality that they had lived with since the day that they were created. God would die and he would become one person with these less than humans. That can't be. The standard is holiness. How can God be holy? That can't be. Where does that leave the angels? That can't be. And there became something of an angelic crisis in heaven. And when that crisis came about in Isaiah 14:13, Lucifer said in his heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will also sit upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the cloud. I will be like the Most High. What is Lucifer saying? Think about this. Lucifer is not saying, I hate God. Lucifer is saying there is a crisis. I'm the covering cherub. I will step in and I will be like God because God is clearly no longer going to be God. He's no longer going to be holy. He's no longer going to be perfect. He's somebody who is lower than us. He's somebody who's going to die. He's somebody who's going to come into union with that which is lowly. I will be like God. Somebody's got to step up to bat. Somebody's got to hold it together. I will be like God, he said. That was a devastating mistake. There was a scandal in heaven, but only to some. Because Lucifer did not trust the nature and the character of God, he saw the scandalous nature of it. In reality, it was quite different. In reality, Lucifer forgot the very purpose of creation. In reality, Lucifer forgot the very essence of who God is and what He is about, and maybe he didn't even know, but being a covering cherub, I think he could have known. Revelation 4:11. All things were created for God's pleasure. All things were created for God's pleasure. In Ezekiel 33:11, the Word of God says that God does not delight in the wicked perishing. Lucifer didn't recognize that. Lucifer would think it's only a matter of justice, and it's only a matter of being right, and it's only a matter of holiness, and it is only righteous and correct that the wicked should perish. But God says, I do not delight in the wicked perishing. He says His delight is when the wicked turns from his wicked ways and lives. That is the delight of God. A heart renewed. A life transformed. A soul redeemed. That is the delight of God. No joy in the perishing of anyone, but that all should come to the knowledge of the Savior. That is the joy of God. God made us because He loved us. And His very essence in 1 John 4 is the love that He manifests. Starting with long-suffering patience and unyielding kindness. In 1 Corinthians 13:4. Long-suffering patience and unyielding kindness. He cannot be patient with an angel. He cannot be kind to an angel. Angels have no need of patience, and they have no need of kindness. For that matter, because they have no need, they have no capacity for either one also. To show an angel patience is simply to coexist with them. You don't need patience with someone who is perfect. To show them kindness is not even remotely possible, because they deserve only that which is good. So angels could not experience either one of those things. But that was the nature of God. And God could not express, because He had no recipient. Holiness could not receive grace. Holiness had no use for mercy. Yet those are the essential characteristics that His character begins with. And so God had to create someone who needed those things. And He made us. That was the reason why the tree of knowledge was allowed in Eden. That's why when Lucifer was cast out, Satan was placed in the garden. It wasn't because God was so interested in testing people. I heard sometimes people will say, well, God wanted to allow them to have an expression of their free volition. You know what? That might be an argument people can make, but it's really not how things went. God is not so cold. I'm going to make you and I'm going to test your volition. What for? You made me, you know what I am. What's the purpose of testing my volition? It's a rationalistic explanation, but I don't think it's correct. God made us because He wanted to love someone, and He couldn't love the angels except in His attitude, but the expression couldn't ever take place. God so loved that He gave. God had to express. And this thing that God had in Him was very foreign to the angels. They understood that God could love, but the expression of it made no sense to them. Because they had nothing except holiness to work with in their frame of reference. But God so loved that He gave. What is the greatest expression of the love of God? In Jude 21, it's mercy. What is mercy? You can almost hear the angels asking one another, what is mercy? What does that word mean? Mercy. It's what? It's not giving somebody what they deserve? If you don't give me what I deserve, isn't that wrong? The holy angel might have asked. But that's only because they understood holiness. But they didn't understand sin. They didn't understand frailty. They didn't understand weakness. They didn't understand failure. They didn't understand need. They didn't understand God. And what it took for God's heart to be expressed. And so to many of them, it appeared scandalous. And Lucifer says, if God will not stay on His throne, then I'll step in and I'll be as the Most High. I'll hold it together for these angels which I care about because I am their covering cherub. And I'll step in and I'll take care of it. Oh, the audacity and the arrogance. It was a devastating mistake in heaven. In verse 17 of Ezekiel 28, the Word of God says, your heart was lifted up because of your beauty. You had corrupted your wisdom because of your brightness. How could you possibly think you could step in for God? That you could even begin to be anything like Him as a created being? Not possible. Not even remotely so. But you see, this is what the tree of knowledge of good and evil, because He was feeding on the good side of it, of course. But this is what the tree of knowledge of good and evil did to His thinking, that in His self-righteousness, because of His beauty and His brightness, He could step in to take the place of God. Not possible. Not possible. He had a standard that only worked for angels, but for nobody else. And they didn't get it. In verse 14, the Word of God says, thou hast walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. These are, of course, the angels. Thou wast perfect in thy ways from the day that thou wast created until iniquity was found in you. Iniquity in the Hebrew is the word evel. It's injustice of speech. It's essentially poneros evil was found in the heart of Lucifer. James 4:11 was not honored by him, "Speak not evil one of another." But no, he was so incensed and so wounded and so distraught in his emotions that his emotions took over his thinking, his emotions took over his standard, and no longer was holiness his standard. Now, something else was. Judgment was his standard. Having to do something about it because of judgment was his standard. Judgment is a satanic standard. This is why the Word of God says, don't judge one another. This is why it says, judge righteous judgments. What is righteous judgment? That the blood of Christ was shed. That is righteous judgment. That Christ died upon the cross. That is righteous judgment. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. That is righteous judgment. Think no evil is righteous judgment. In 1 Timothy 5:19, do not speak evil of another person, particularly an elder. But can you imagine? It wasn't an elder. It was God he was speaking evil of. And James 4:11 was utterly shattered when the Word of God says, do not speak evil one of another, because when you speak evil one of another, you speak evil of the Word of God, which was the second person of the Trinity. In his self-consciousness, he utterly destroyed his holiness. But he had the right emotional motive, you could say. But his emotional motive was nothing more than iniquity. Iniquity was found in him, in verse 16, by the multitude of his merchandise. They have filled his midst with violence. Multitude is the word rob, and it means abundance. By the abundance of his merchandise, rekula, in the original language. It means traffic or trade. He started to traffic in unjust, wicked, evil speech. He was making accusations against God. And he was doing it continuously. They filled the midst of the midst is trevek. It refers to his heart. These things that he was spreading and saying, this evil, this negativity, this outrage, this scandal, the incensed attitude of it filled his heart with violence. Curiously, that word is Hamas. Just like certain wicked groups out there. And it means extreme wickedness, malicious witness, injustice, and cruelty. He bore malicious witness against God. It was unjust and it was cruel. And God described it as extreme wickedness when Satan spoke evil of God. Be careful never to speak evil of another person. Don't ever speak evil of another person. It is extreme wickedness. Don't ever speak evil of another person. It is what Satan does in Revelation 12:10. Be very cautious about it. It comes so easily, gossip and slander and maligning. It comes so easily. It rolls off people's tongues in the break room at work. And they gossip about somebody and they speak evil. And God says, that is extreme wickedness. Be very cautious never to fall into that. Don't ever give yourself a reason or permission And don't say, well, it's a religious reason, and after all, I'm only saying that so people will pray. Oh, you are so deceived. It's extreme wickedness. And then it says, and you have sinned. The word sin there is kata, and it's a kal imperfect tense there. That means it's not a completed action. That means it's going to keep going. He's going to keep trying to complete it. There's more coming. And you have sinned, and the word sin there is go the wrong way and incur guilt. He said, you've gone the wrong way. You've started down the wrong path, and you've incurred guilt. Therefore, I will cast thee as profane, kalal, defiled and polluted and dishonored out of the mountain of God. Not only did it rock their world, they had devastating results. As he trafficked in his merchandise, slandering God with malicious speech, being an evil, unjust witness against God. And the end of it was in Revelation 12:4, that one third of heaven fell. Imagine that. One third of heaven fell. But this is why. This is what he didn't understand. In Revelation 21:9, the Word of God says that an angel said to John the Apostle, come here, and I will show you the bride, the Lamb's wife. There is a city there, adorned as a bride for her husband. And the angels looked at that city and they didn't get it. There was a bride. What the angels didn't understand is that God wanted a bride. That God wanted to express love. God could not change who he was, nor was he willing to change who he was. But changing his form to appear like something less than the angels did not change who God is. God's perfection and holiness was not corrupted in his putting sin on his own body and dying for the sins of all mankind. It was revealed in it. We could not corrupt God, but God could remove our corruption. But they didn't understand that because they didn't understand grace. That God so loved. They couldn't get the meaning of that. God so loved. That he gave his son. Why did he give his son? He gave his son a bride. Because he so loved. It's like this. In 1 Corinthians 8 and verse 6, there is but one God, the Father, of whom are all things, and we in him, and one Lord Jesus Christ, by whom are all things, and we by him. Now, God could not take less than himself to be a bride because he is perfect and holy. God could not even take the angels, albeit they also are perfect and holy because they cannot receive the love of God in its fullness. And so there's something of a conundrum. In order to receive the love of God in its fullness, You need someone who is less than perfect. And yet, in order to be worthy of God, you need somebody who is utterly perfect, as perfect as God Himself. And so you have these two canceling conditions in existence where if you were to receive the love that God longed to give, you had to be less than perfect. But if you were to have any kind of union or communion with God, you had to be utterly perfect. God could not create another God. There is only one God. And so what did He do? He came up with the perfect solution. He created mankind to be lower than the angels, where their standard would not need to be holiness, but their standard would be righteousness through faith. And righteousness was even better than holiness, because faith could transcend what was. And it could bring you to what ought to be. In other words, our faith is very corrupt, little sinful dust men brings us into grace. And by grace, God sent His Son. And all the imperfections that would define us as being unrighteous, unholy, unjust, undeserving, all those little imperfections were removed at the cross. And at that cross, we became one with Him in Ephesians 2:15. He made one new man. So God didn't need to make a perfect man. God would enter into a union with the man He made. And that was better than being an angel, because that man could both receive the love of God and be like God Himself in His very imperfection. He could be transformed into the image of God's Son. And yet, be a very imperfect being with the perfection of God Himself. This is what Lucifer could never understand. This is what the angels cannot understand, albeit they can trust the character of God to accept it. This is who we are. Lucifer fell because of us and his misunderstanding of our place before God. He thought that we should have the standard that he had, but then he didn't recognize the purpose for which we were made versus the purpose for which the angels were made, that it is different. And so God made himself a bride because God wanted to express the love that he possessed. Never be distraught at your own shortcomings. Never be anxious at the fact that you are perhaps sinful in certain ways. I'm not saying live in it, but I'm saying don't be distraught by it either. Don't be upset that you fail. I'm not saying go ahead and fail. I'm saying you will fail. Don't be upset by it. God made you less than the angels, so so that you could be fooled by them, the ones that are fallen, just like Eve in the garden, where you would have a need to receive mercy. Does God want you to sin? Of course not. But He knows you will, because you're less than the angels. And remember something. It's not outward sin it's really talking about. It's whatsoever is not of faith that is sin, in Romans 14:23. And so God allowed it, that man should be less than and easily fooled by the serpent that He allowed into the garden along with His tree, knowing that man would fall, but also knowing that the foundation of the world was the blood of the Lamb. For this purpose we were created in Genesis 2:7, where in the original language it says, out of the dust of to show blood, God created to show blood and breathed into His nostrils the breath of life. There was a purpose, and it wasn't perfection. It was receiving. And Satan couldn't handle it. He still cannot, because he still longs for that holy standard. What he doesn't see is that he violated the standard utterly. In Genesis 1:4, when God separated the light from the darkness, and Lucifer fell. But as for us, we were made to be the bride. That's what happened in heaven. God made Himself a bride. And though certain angels couldn't comprehend it, God certainly did. And He planned it. And He executed it. And now we have it. Now we're the bride, sealed by the Holy Spirit, cleansed by the blood, redeemed at the cross unto one new man. Imagine that. We are the bride of God Himself. Amen.